Well, anyways, so the okay, what determination did you come to choose the snacks that you did?
Well, you wouldn't help me. And, I mean, I usually always come up with something, and tonight I thought I'd just kind of throw it over on you, and you still put it right back on me. So I just tried to get in your head. That's what I did. I thought how would he mix and match? So okay. I came up with Reese's Pieces and with Reese's.
And okay,
the next
part was the
potato chips.
All right, now think about this. You have Reese's Pieces. You have small peanut butter cups. Okay, then you have two different kinds of potato chips.
Yeah, but I got Pringles. That was like my off, throwing it off a little bit.
Well, no, but I mean, it's like a peanut butter and a flavored chip, another kind of peanut butter and a flavored chip. It was redundant. Now, if you would have went with
what?
Well, you got two peanut butter candies and two potato chips.
With just one chip, you mean?
Well, okay. Just give you an example. If I was going to buy four things and to mix it up, okay?
Yeah.
I would have picked one of the Reese's. I don't know which one. Probably the peanut butter cups.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I'm not a big fan of the pieces. But, okay, I would have picked the bag of the little peanut butter cups. Then I probably would have chose the plain Pringles because a plain salty potato chip kind of goes with everything.
With anything.
Right. It's like a glass of water. No matter what you're eating, glass of water goes good with it.
Okay.
Okay, then this is what I would have done. I would have went with chocolate-covered peanuts, maybe a bag of chocolate-covered almonds, or maybe chocolate-covered raisins, and some type of a cookie. Because, see, now you're talking about, the money is about the same. You're buying four things, but you bought four things that are literally, you bought two different kinds of Reese's Pieces and two different flavors of Pringles potato chips. Do you see?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know.
Yeah, I was kind of keeping it all in the family.
It was
good.
Now, are you taking the Pringles home?
Yeah, you can have the peanut butter cups, though.
But you want both things of Pringles?
No, you can have one of them.
Which one do you want? You want the cheesy ones.
You know, they're Pringles. To me, Pringles all taste the same. So if you want the cheesy,
you
can have them.
You think they all taste the change?
It has that Pringle taste.
Well, they spray something on them.
They do.
I mean, you know,
I don't know if I'd get them again.
Frankly, I'm not sure that a Pringle
even constitutes an official
potato chip.
The cheese, because not only are they sprayed as a Pringle, then they're resprayed as a cheese. So you take that. There's more chemicals in that one.
Yeah, but see, I don't think Pringles would even is a real potato chip. It's kind of like Arby's roast beef. It's not real roast beef. They put a whole bunch of stuff together and they make it into a chunk. And then they cook that chunk. And then
it's kind of disgusting.
And then they slice it up.
Yeah, I'm not eating any more of those.
So it looks like, you didn't know that about Arby's?
Do you remember?
You honestly didn't know Arby's was like that, seriously.
No, and you also remember maybe about a couple years ago, we discarded the idea of ever having something here in the barn. Remember? There was another really bad choice we made. Remember what it was?
No.
It was those puffs, those cheese, little popcorn puffs type thing, and it was nothing but chemicals, totally.
I didn't pick those. You did.
Well, I know that, and that's why I said, I've never had anything like that again.
That's not on me. You know what your problem is? You haven't come up with the conception that when you're buying artificial ingredients and things that taste good, like snacks, you always have to stick with brand names. You want the finest of artificial cancer-causing ingredients. You want all the yellow number fives and blue number twos and number seven greens.
I read up on that yellow.
I told you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Didn't I tell you that yellow number five is sinister?
Bad.
It is. It's like really bad. But I mean, honestly, when you buy snacks,
artificial,
you have to get the finest. Okay, remember the cheese popcorn? It was like $2 and they gave you a garbage bag full. Remember how bad it was? It was just flat and stale and it didn't even taste like cheese.
Terrible.
Yeah, because like the bag said, look, we'll give you a dump truck load of this.
For a dollar.
For a dollar. No, it was 99 cents. And I said, why didn't they just send me a dollar that says, look, we'll give you a dollar just to throw
we'll
up. Because
we'll give you a dollar off on your emergency visit to the hospital.
That's it, yeah. While they're pumping your stomach of cheese popcorn, you're like, here's a dollar off.
This coupon's good for a dollar off your ambulance ride.
That's right, yeah. That's really it. Think we're going to start the show?
Are we on?
Are we on the air? I don't know. Let me check, see if we're on the air. We're supposed to start at 8 o'clock. Let me see if we're on the air. I wonder if we're on the air. We better start the show.
That was all recorded?
I don't know. Well, we'll just start. We'll just go from here. Go from here.
Okay.
We'll just go from here. There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Here we are, folks. Today's date is the 24th of March, 2015, and it's about 8 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. No, apparently we started on time. We just were so busy talking that we didn't realize that there should be music and an opening to the show. So, you know, there's somebody out there that has never heard the show before. And they're thinking, I thought this was supposed to be about heaven and Jesus. And they're talking about ambulance snacks. Rides and snacks.
Yeah.
What is this? I can't believe this is. Well, this is the internet for you. It's just another stupid internet thing. All right. Tonight, we're going to talk about our hearts. And that's kind of a metaphor, but it really isn't. I mean, yeah, our heart is the strongest muscle of the body, and it pumps blood, and it's the heart of us. But there's a, I guess you could say it's wordplay, semantics, but we're talking about our soul more than we are our heart, on how just day-to-day life, the choices we make. Our family upbringing, really. I mean, they say that by the time a child is 6 or 8 years old, that their personality and who they are is virtually etched in stone from their those small wonder years, those few years of what kind of life did they have. But tonight we're going to talk about how open is our soul, our heart? How open are we to information? Especially information that's as vital as God's Word, as Scripture. Nobody likes change. We talk about it all the time on the show. Nobody likes change. We want things to be just the way they are. We want to be comfortable. People get frustrated when their favorite food is repackaged. The package doesn't look the same. It doesn't open the same because I'm so used to open it this way. I don't know why they would change their package. I mean, think about that. We're so entrenched. We are so etched in stone, so stubborn about learning a habit that habit isn't a habit no more. It's actually our reality, what yes. defines us. Well, think about this on a religious plane, on a spiritual plane, when it comes to your heart, your soul, who is truly you. Remember, it isn't the world, it's not the flesh, it's not your name, what you look like or how old you are. It's that divine spirit that you were born with. The blood of Jesus didn't pay for you to be a man or a woman or a janitor or a millionaire. Jesus' blood paid for that divine spark to have eternal bliss, happiness, a basic no limit, no boundary, get out of jail free card. So now think about that for a second. How receptive are you to new information? They'll coin a phrase, oh, he doesn't listen to anybody. He's so stubborn, he's hard-hearted. Or somebody will say, well, they're pretty fragile, they're brokenhearted. Boy, that person is mean and nasty, they're heartless. They have no heart at all. And then the one that cracks me up, oh, They just want everybody to eat lettuce. They're just a bleeding heart. They go overboard with their love and passion. They're just a bleeding heart. Well, let's get deeper into the fact that there's scripture that talks about a seared heart. Now the word searing means to burn, to put a cover, to put a crust, to put a hardness on the outside of something, a scarring. Think of it this way. A seared heart in Scripture, think of it in our terms in 2015 on the 24th of March of being, you take plastic wrap. You know, the stuff that comes off the roll and it's so hard to stretch it out because it clings to everything. You take that plastic wrap and you wrap your spirit, your heart, your soul, that divine spark that Jesus' blood paid for. You put a coating on it of plastic so you can hear your heart, you can see your divine spark, but yet it's got this thin coating that acts like a small little barrier so that it really isn't receptive to things. It can get close to things, but that small little microscopic barrier of sandwich wrap, that plastic, is keeping your spirit from grace. And unfortunately, on some level or another, myself, Jim, all of us have that coding. Sometimes it comes from past negative memories and situations that have occurred to us. Sometimes it's just we've made bad choices in our lives and we have a negative outlook of ourselves, which means that we're going to have a negative outlook on the world. The point isn't how you get that plastic coating. The point is that it's there. And do you acknowledge it? Because, Jim, Scripture does refer to this, doesn't it?
Well, there's just a slew of scriptures all about the heart. And you're right, Jesus, he didn't die on the cross, you could say, to give a person a particular job description on the earth as a janitor, as a business person, as a doctor, whatnot. Jesus died for that all-important connection in the heart. He died that man would have a new heart. And the scriptures talk about that new heart. And a heart that's pliable, a heart that's open, a mind and heart that is receptible or receptive to the grace of God. And so in a sense, what we're talking about tonight really is the very, and I know this is kind of cheesy, but it's the very core of the whole reason why Jesus came, the core, the heart. You know, you think of the heart of the tree. What's he talking about? Well, the core, the inner part of that tree. And that's where the sap flows. Well, you could use the same example to say, you know, the healthy heart, a healthy conscience is always going to produce greater results than a heart that's in trouble or a heart that's damaged. You know, Jesus even said, as he was quoting Isaiah in chapter 11, and Jesus quoted this scripture and found it and read from the scriptures very often in the temple, where one of the things that he said that he was sent with the anointing or God's presence, God's grace, his influence, to heal wasn't just the blind eyes, it was also the broken heart. So God wants people's hearts to be free and open and receptive to the grace of God. So this is a great subject here to talk about tonight, BJ. I think we're going to be on target.
I hope so. Let's get down to some housekeeping. Let's talk about emails. We love when you listening to the show participate, where you send emails and you send text messages. So we would like you to send us some emails. It's the name of Jim's radio show. It's The Abiding Presence. Okay, The Abiding Presence at G, the letter gmail.com. Okay, The Abiding Presence, no caps, no space, just The Abiding Presence at gmail.com. Also, we have text messaging. We would like you to text us as well. The way you text the show is it's not complicated. It just seems that way. The first word that you type in your text message has to be the word grace. It's called a keyword. That means that the texting service knows that your text message comes here to Oklahoma to this barn. Otherwise, they don't know where to send the text message. So the first word you type is the word grace. Then your question or your comment, even if you just want to say hello to yourself or family members listening or whatever you want to say. Then when you press the send button, there's no one, there's no area code needed. It's not even a phone number, it's just five numbers, it's five digits, 69302. So you type the word grace, then the rest of your message, and when you press the send button, it's 69302. The email address and how you text the show is on the Okay, well, actually, the information is the way you email the show, the way you text Jim's show, is this show. It's on www.theabidingpresence.com contacts page. I don't think I've ever done that before, have
I? No, I don't think you have.
It's I don't know why, but it's, I did.
You know, there's a scripture that'll kind of jumpstart us a little bit too on our path here tonight, but it says in Luke 8:15, and this is a passage where Jesus is talking about people's hearts. In fact, he talks about their hearts to people that understand how to farm. So his parable comes by talking about a seed, throwing it into the ground. And he has four different types of soil, a hard, rocky soil, where the seed just goes on top, doesn't even go into the ground, and birds come and pick it up. And then he has some other soil where there's not much depth, but the seed does go in and immediately springs up. But then when a hot day comes, because there's no depth of root system there, the plant that quickly grew up immediately withers. And then there's another soil where it's the seed is placed in amongst all kinds of tares. Well, tares back in the day was a plant that grew up quite often in wheat fields. And if you get enough of them, they choke the seed out. And that's the kind of soil that he was talking about, people that are full of the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Their heart is choked out. It's not allowed to receive from God and then to express from God. But there's another soil, the fourth one. It says, this one, the seed, fell on good ground. And on good ground, it says, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, the seed is kept and it bears fruit with patience. So again, tonight we're talking about the heart because I think it's such an important part of us. And I was sharing with BJ earlier, maybe we can just talk about this for a second, how important I thought last week's homework was. Does anybody remember the homework assignment?
Tell people what it was in case they don't.
Well, the homework assignment was very simple. You were instructed to get out a piece of paper and take just one area, and it's up to your discretion where that area was. In fact, I think I decided not to disclose my area. BJ said his area would be for a week without potato chips.
I did. I didn't make it.
You didn't make it?
No, I and it was my choice. I went to somebody's house, and there was this little boy about 9 or 10 years old. And he had made homemade potato chips.
Oh, no.
And he brought some out on a paper plate that were still, like, too hot to touch, right out of the deep fat fryer. And he had made them out of sweet potatoes. And he was so proud of himself, and he was caught, and his name is Charlie, so he was calling them Charlie Chips. And his parents said, he does this, you know, he's gone crazy. He'll probably end up a millionaire someday with Charlie's Chips, but, you know, you don't have to. And I said, you know, and he says, don't you want to try one, BJ? Don't you want to try one? Well, I'm not going to say no because of, you know, what am I going to do, sell some little kid? Well, there's this radio show, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And so I said, well, you brought me three. Is that all I get is three? And he says, well, I don't make very many of them, you know.
Huh.
You know, mom says it's dangerous around the deep fat fryer. So he brought me three, and I kind of blew on them, and man, they were delicious.
Hmm.
And one was kind of a little saltier than the others, but I'm not going to say, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, yeah. That was the assignment, and I got somebody.
I would have made it, though, if it wasn't for the quote-unquote sweet potato Charlie chips.
Well, I got somebody that inboxed me on the Facebook to say how that they were all ready with their homework assignment. They completed it. They loved it. And they're ready to move on to another area. In fact, I personally am going to up the ante myself. So I found it to be really, really a good little project.
I've already come up with a really interesting homework assignment.
Well, something different for tonight?
Oh, it's bizarre.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a test. The homework assignment, I mean, I'm warning people. Tonight, the homework assignment is going to test you on levels that you've never been tested before. Well, and unfortunately, it's going to prove a point. It's going to prove a point about conviction and commitment.
Okay. Well, I want to throw in something here about homework assignments in general. I was reading today, it was just a real good article by a pastor out in New York that was sharing about how the modern generation of churchgoers are numb to the idea of doing something with the scriptures that they hear.
Right.
He was sharing that even his theology professor, the dean of the theology school where he went, he said at the very beginning of his first year, told all the students, when you hear truth, you need to do something with it. Because it's so easy to get deceived if all you do is want another truth and yes. don't do something with the first one you have.
That's right.
He said it won't take, this is the dean talking, it won't take long until you'll develop a habit and your routine will be you'll never do anything with Scripture.
That's part of the homework assignment tonight, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, it fits right in.
Okay.
Isn't that ironic?
It is, isn't that something?
It's almost like the guys have a plan.
It's like something unseen here is kind of helping us. I don't know.
You know, I'm always surprised that the guys, you know, that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit and grace, that all four of them take the time to listen to the show, because Tuesday is a big night for TV.
Yeah.
There's some pretty good shows on television tonight, and yet they're listening to the show.
You know,
multitaskers they are.
You know, if we've got DVR and all that, they probably got it.
I have TiVo.
You have TiVo? They probably got it.
I have TiVo. And my TiVo, I wear them out. Hmm. I TiVo a lot.
Do you TiVo whole series? Like you take a show that you like and you TiVo the series?
I do. Yeah, there's a couple of TV series that I TiVo.
Uh-huh.
I don't buy DVDs or nothing.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like tonight, one of my shows is on tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm TiVoing it. And then there's another one tomorrow night. And then there's actually, believe it or not, usually every night of the week, there's at least 3 to 4 television shows I TiVo.
Hmm.
And then I start watching them about 2 in the morning. Because when you can fly through commercial breaks, and like I fly through romantic scenes or... You know, just stupid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can take a 1-hour show and watch the whole show and tell you everything about it in about 25 minutes.
Hmm.
I mean, I just fast forward,
what
stop.
What time do you go to bed?
Oh, about 4:30 or so.
Every night?
Pretty much. Some nights I don't go to bed. I just stay up all night long with the guys. Yeah, I dare somebody to have a conversation with the guys and say, I have to get to bed because there's work tomorrow. I want to meet the idiot that says that.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty out there.
All right, speaking of plenty, we are drowning in emails. We don't have one text message.
You're kidding.
No, but we got a lot of emails
here. Well, let's get at it.
We got one here that says, thanks, Ranger and friends, for another great show. This was sent 4 days ago. I look forward to the new one every week and listen over and over. Greatly enjoying your mix of humor and serious truth. Are we ever funny? Do we have humor?
No. I mean, if it happens, it's an accident.
Yeah. Every testimony brings more clarity. This week, I especially liked Jim's insight on Word of Faith because I received a lot of healing under that teaching, but needed to know how to put it under grace. It's much sweeter this way, just walking an everyday relationship. Love and thanks to all the listeners who participate in real time too. Their comments, questions, and snacks are great contribution. God bless. North Dakota Loop listener, Elena Anderson.
Oh, great.
Ranger! What is it? What? Well, there you go. A yawn.
Uh-huh.
That's all you're going to do is yawn? Ranger! What? All right, that's a little better. You can't yawn, Ranger. You have to bark. People don't want to hear a dog yawn. Got another one here that came in 20 hours ago. It says, hello, Jim, BJ. As you know, I've been listening to your program for some time. How would we know that? You know, as you know. Yeah, like we are supposed to know that.
Depends on who it is.
It seems you feel that most people are too busy to take the time to want a connection with God, while I do know some mediocre Christians, most of the people I know, including myself, want a connection with God. That's why we are listening to your program. Can you tell us step by step how to? Just like if you were teaching somebody to ride a horse. I have a million questions. Would like to ask both of you. I'll tell you what. Tonight is the 151 radio shows from the barn.
Right.
Tonight.
Which will be 183 overall shows.
Okay, there's 100, so that means that after tonight there's going to be 183 radio shows.
Archived.
Archived. The best thing to do is to go back and start with show number one and listen. It really is.
This doesn't matter, but how many shows did we lose? Remember? At the other place?
At the radio station?
I think at least a couple, didn't we?
Yeah, but it's on... See, I included that. The guy that did your website, I made him include that those shows were lost to computer error.
Okay. So we are at 183 then.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We got one here, came in 20 hours ago, that says... Oh, this is from the same guy, John. It says, P.S. Would be nice if you could write a book. Thanks. Well, you know, a lot of people have said there should be a BJ book.
Yeah.
Yeah. BJ Bible, Bible BJ translation.
Sure.
That would be... I think that it would just spontaneously combust. Woof. Like some religious...
Or someone might light it.
I don't know. Yeah, or maybe. Well, I would make it... I would write just enough so that most tables that wobble, the book would keep the table from wobbling if you stuck it under the shorter leg.
Yeah.
See, now that is a good writer who knows that, wait a minute, I got to stop writing because the book is getting too thick to keep tables from waddling. See, that is a conscientious writer. We got one here that says, hi, please give some examples of other voices that have our attention besides God's voice speaking to us. This says, thank you, Diane from Toronto, Canada.
This goes to my Facebook post.
Okay.
I said, if you're not hearing the voice of God, it's because you're hearing other voices that have your attention.
Okay.
Well, Diane, that could be almost anything. Think about it. I mean, think about someone that watches, let's just say they watch 5-6 hours of TV a night. That's all they do.
Now, what kind of an idiot would watch that much TV in the middle of the night? What kind of a bozo is that sets a TiVo and records a bunch of TV and watches it in the middle of the night and doesn't get any sleep?
I thought that
somebody's got to throw a net over that. Oh man, that guy needs shock therapy.
Serious.
Should be seeing a whole team of doctors.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Let's sign him up.
That's right.
So it could be.
What is it? Even Ranger's growling over that one.
So, Diane, it really could be anything. I mean, the voice of your body. Think about how loud the voice of your body is. How in tune with our flesh we are at all times. Versus how in tune we are with God that says we're healed, that we're well. The voice of your checkbook, the voice of your job. I mean, everything and anything in your life, in your pattern, in your routine of how you function has the ability to drown out the voice of God. We've made this comment before. In fact, it came from BJ that said, if you took the tangibility of the love of God and the tangibility of the world and stacked them up against each other, the tangibility of the world would win out every time.
Hands down. Honestly, there's nothing in our lives that is godly, that is Christ-like. There's nothing in our family experience. It's just all organized religion, supposition through magazines, TV shows, and movies, and just generation after generation. And I'm not talking about just 50, 60 years. I'm talking about going back to when Jesus was still walking around with his 12 little buddies.
Right.
There was misinformation when Jesus was around.
Sure.
This is not new to God at all.
Right. So when BJ's talking about that, just from the more religious point of view, so you understand what he's saying, there is a great distortion from the original intention of God to have a fellowship and relationship with someone where it's as real as you having your best friend with you at all times.
Yep.
And that's what, instead of modern religion that gives us more of a connection to the church, to a building, for instance, I said that wrong because a real church is connecting you to God. But modern religion connects you to a building. It connects you to the experience of your one time on Sunday. Or, this is going to be hard on some folks, but I don't mind saying it because there's truth in it. A lot of modern religion will connect you to a relationship with the Bible, that's your relationship with God. And the Bible is there to help give you a relationship with God. So all these things are just small little examples of what is a huge list of examples of how people are distorted or off from having something so real and simple in God alone.
We have a couple text messages. Remember, folks, if you want to text message the show, the first word that you type is the word grace. And after you type grace, you type the rest of your comment or question. And when you press the send button, it's 69-69-69-302. First text, would encourage everyone to get on Houston Church website and watch Jim from last Sunday. Excellent teaching, Jim. Houston Faith is where you were, and they're saying it was excellent teaching.
Yeah, we had a really good time with Chaz and Joni Stevenson there, and they maxed out their largest attendance they've had.
Which was what?
I think over 300.
Good
so that's really great. And the people were so, so receptive. It was really good.
Now we have a very sad text here.
What's that?
It says, thank goodness golf doesn't compete against being a spirit. Well, as Scripture says, golf...
Is that Mulligan?
I don't know. As Scripture will say, golf is a shortcut to hell in Scripture. I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
Hmm.
Golf. You know, golf is such a waste of good pasture.
I mean, Jesus talked about birdies.
He was talking about real birdies.
Oh, sorry.
Well, the reason you don't know is that you're a terrible golfer. You've never had a birdie.
That's not true.
No, but that's pretty good.
I've even had an eagle.
Was that funny?
I've even had an eagle.
Great.
Yeah.
I went to Colonel Sanders and had chicken.
Good for you.
You know, why somebody wants to wear special clothes and spend thousands of dollars on little clubs to take this innocent little ball and smack it as far as they can just to go up and hit it farther. At least in football, you throw the ball and they try to run it back to you. And if in baseball, if you hit it, somebody wants to catch it and throw it back so you can hit it again. But in golf, no. Hit it as far as you can and then go hit it some more. So you have to go farther. It's inefficient. Bowling is an amazing sport. You don't have to walk very far. There's always snacks and beverages. It's indoors, so you're cool in the summer, warm in the winter. And when you roll the ball down and knock the pins, the ball comes right back to you.
You know, some ladies...
So you can do it again.
Some ladies told my friend who's a golf professional the other day, he asked them as they came in with a smile on their face, he said, ladies, you're looking really good. How did it go today? They said, well, we did great. We had two riders. He said, two riders? What's a rider? She said, well, that's where you hit it far enough where you get to ride in the cart.
Yeah, see, there it is. So, poor old ladies. Couple of little grandmas, you know, and...
Geez. Do you know what golf actually means? You know what they created it to mean? This is going to sound terrible. The ladies are going to hate me for this. Gentlemen only, ladies forbidden. Did
really?
You know that? No, not really. That's just a joke. All right.
See, that's just another reason why golf is bad, because it hurts half the population's feelings.
That's right. No, actually, it's wide open for men and women all over the world. So I'm over in John chapter 14, verse 1, and the reason why I'm there is because of the beginning verses here that says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And the thought that I wanted to bring out here about the heart, and the reason why we're talking about it tonight, and we want to protect that part of us and keep it from having, like we talked about at the very beginning of the show, that cellophane or plastic wrap over it where you're not able to really experience or express your heart is because it's in the heart that man believes. In other words, faith comes from your heart. Your convictions come from your heart, your inside, your spirit. And that's where your connection is with God. So think about this. It's the same type of an example as saying the heart with a wrapping on it to a cell phone. And if you put something around your cell phone where there's no possible way for you to get a signal, then really how good is that cell phone at all? It's not good at all. You need a signal for that phone to be able to function. Well, we need our heart in the right place so that we can begin to function with God.
Okay.
Anything else?
We got another email here. Came in six. We're catching up. Okay. 6 hours ago.
Okay.
Hello, Jim, BJ, Ranger, and everyone listening to the show. Although it's been a while since I wrote in, I have continued to be encouraged each week by the program. Thank you, Jim, for coming down to the Dallas-Fort Worth area last week. Were you down there?
In Plano on Thursday and Friday.
Okay. As always, it was awesome teaching, preaching, and demonstrating God's word and power. I appreciate how you boldly wake people up to the real gospel and back it up with results. I don't know where our family would be today spiritually without your revelation and ministry. We hope to come up to Tulsa sometime soon to visit and sit in on one of your weekly meetings at the library. By the way, since Drew is close to graduation, are y'all still considering moving up to Colorado to start a church? Just wondering if there's any new news with the ministry. Thanks, Jim. This is blessings to everyone. This is from Karen from Burleson, Texas.
Hmm. Well, we're continuing to consider that. And there's a possible open window coming up here soon. So we'll see how that all works.
You're
out.
You're going to move to Colorado?
Maybe.
Huh. So the show's coming to an end?
Not necessarily.
Well, that means I'll have to buy my own snacks on Tuesday nights. Well, that's kind of sad.
I'll send you some extra.
Yeah, well, you're from Colorado?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Tuesday. Should be a FedEx box at the front gate of the ranch from Colorado.
Send you monthly supply.
All right. We got to, let's see. How do we get cellophane off our heart? Thanks.
Well, here's my my example of it, and then BJ, you can give your thoughts on it. But I think what we're talking about tonight, again, I'm gonna say something first. I loved the homework assignment last week. I'm all in favor of it. I think it's something that everybody should do every single week, and remind yourself often of it throughout the day that you're committed, you're accountable to what you wrote down, and just use your trust and faith in the grace of God to help you and begin to make progress. Because seriously, and this goes to the question, how do you get the cellophane off? I know that we could give you some type of real spiritual great answer, but probably none of us would understand it. So if we give you something so simple as what the homework assignment was, take an area in your life and just write it down, something that you want changed, and begin to bring it before the Lord every single morning. Lord, thank you. It's going to be an amazing day. Your grace is going to cover me. It's going to be wonderful, and I'm going to have a great experience all day long. And this is something I don't have to give myself to, because every area you begin to put your flesh in a place of being behind your spirit being first. I was going to say second, but really, you know, the flesh doesn't even have a place when it comes to your spirit. But in every area where you don't allow your flesh to make choices and make the decisions, but you make a choice out of your spirit, that's how you unwrap your heart. That's how you become sensitive.
The first thing is to recognize that you're not connected the way you're supposed to be. I think one of the biggest issues I have with organized religion is that It separates people into the haves and the have-nots, just like society does here in the United States of America. Those that have money and those who don't. Those who have grace and those who don't. Those that are favored and those that are just there. Nothing is needed to have a relationship with God except for your own choices that you make. Now, that sounds really simple, and it is, but it's not easy, because choices are what that cellophane, that plastic around the heart, really are. What you do with what you choose to do with your time, how you choose to talk, how you choose to treat people, what you choose is right or wrong, how you choose to treat animals, how you choose to treat the environment, the choice, how you prioritize what is important in your life. See, these are all choices. And that is that's really what the crux of your question is. How do we get cellophane off our heart? Well, the cellophane, the plastic wrap that we talked about at the beginning of the show, really is a giant bucket full, a compilation of really poor Christian choices.
Yeah.
I mean, I say this all the time because it really applies to the overwhelming majority of people who aren't experiencing grace, but yet they were born with that divine spark, and they should be drowning in grace. And it's, I mean, you're not killing people, you're not robbing banks, you're not looting and pillaging the neighborhood, you're not abusing small children and animal, and you're paying your taxes, you're paying your bills, and you're trying to be the best person you can be, and you're literally frustrated and perplexed that what is my sin? What am I doing that's keeping me from grace? It's those small choices that seem innocent, to spend more time at work than you do with your family, to spend more time with your hobby than you do your husband or wife, to spend less time worrying about things that you're not supposed to worry about. And a perfect example of what we're talking about, the small choices we make, is when somebody's perspective of the message of the show, when they say, well, I can't just sit home and praise God. I got to go to work. I have bills to pay, mortgages and health insurance, and we want to get we want to add on to the back patio, and Christmas is only a few months away. Even though we're going into summer, I want to start my Christmas fun. I need to make money. I have things to do. Well, look at the choices that you've just made.
Right, right.
You've literally have stated in no certain terms that your job, your bills, your Christmas fund trumps any communication or relationship with Christ.
Right.
Now, on that hard, open, absolute way of looking at it, what real expectation should you expect to have in the success category of having prayers answered? When Scripture says all the time, put me first, think of me, think of me.
Yeah, to me, as I'm thinking here, it's kind of like saying, I mean, something so simple as, you know, maybe a cousin is coming over or a nephew is coming to the house, and you've got a pretty busy day. So you get everything cleared with every place that you need to go, and you say to your nephew, would you like to hang out with me all day long? And he says, well, sure, I'd love that. I'd love to, you know, go everywhere with you. And so literally, from morning until night, your nephew is with you all day long. And when you're done with the day, you both look at each other and say, that was a great day. I really loved the company. And oh, by the way, you helped me all day long. We got more done today than I normally do on my own. And some great things took place. I'm really excited about that. Would you like to hang out tomorrow?
The guys do that with me every day, all day.
But that's the whole, that's as simple as it can be and should be for a relationship with God, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
And the difference would be to say to the nephew, "Well, I've got a real busy day now. You're going to have to stay home all by yourself."
Yeah. As good as it was, I got other things to do, priorities.
Right.
What they've made choices. They've chosen.
Right. And how many, and this goes for all of us, how many times even spiritually could you say that this equation equates to your spiritual life, where you've actually had your nephew with you 3 days in a row, and they were the best productive days you've had, and you had fun, you laughed all day, someone was with you, but then for the next 3 weeks, he's there, and you never take him.
I'm going to give people an example that I think they may understand.
They didn't get that one?
Well, no, but just another okay. another one. Are you worried?
Not at all.
I thought it was good.
No, I'm just messing with you.
That, and this is, it applies to me and Ranger.
Okay.
At least once a week, someone will say, "Your dog is so much smarter than my dog. How did your dog ever learn so many things?" And I tell them, I'll say, "Ranger isn't all that smart. She's just a dog."
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, "Yeah, right." And I'll go, "No." And I'll ask them, I'll say, "How much time do you spend with your dog?" And they'll say, "Well, my dog sleeps on my bed and sometimes lays on my lap when I watch TV, and it's underneath the kitchen table, and the kids play with it, and it spends some time in the backyard." And I say, "So collectively, just average on a day, how much time are you really communicating with your dog, talking to your dog, spending time with your dog, giving your dog commands? How honestly, think about it." And they'll say, "Oh, 20, 30 minutes, I guess. Sometimes more, sometimes less, but probably 30 minutes. And I'll go, "Okay." And then I'll say, "Well, how much time do you spend with Ranger?" And I go, "All of it." And they go, "What?" And I say, "Since she was 6 weeks old, 24 hours, 7 days a week, we're together. It's rare for us to be apart. And if we are apart, she's close by, and it's her choice to go wander off and chase a rabbit or eat a mouse."
Right.
And then I say, "So it's about habit. It's about exposure, consistency." And then they don't really understand. And I says, "Look," I says, "Ranger's 9 years old, and at least 5 to 10 times a day, I've already said, 'Sit, come, and stay. And get up, get down, move, come here.' And I petted and loved on her. And that's just the today, and the day's only half over. And it's like that every day." And I said, "So it isn't, though, that my dog is smarter than your dog. My dog just has more communication, more time in."
Yeah, that's cool.
So when someone talks about how to become closer to God,
yes,
how to get the cellophane off of your heart, what does it take to have a better relationship with God is you have to sit there and think and consider and be honest. That's the hardest part, because you're not going to like the answer. As good of a person as you think you are, and as much money as you tithe, and as nice as you dress, and as many times as somebody said, "Well, if somebody's going to heaven, it's going to be you. You're a really good, God-fearing person." You're going to have to come to terms with the fact that as many hours that you're awake and as many days, months, and years you've been alive, the amount of time that you've actually been focused on the guys thinking of Christ is a drop in a very large bucket.
Right. I've got a scripture that's great for this. It's over in Luke and 24 and verse 25. This is where Jesus, you know, he had risen again, and there were some disciples, followers, that were on the road and to Emmaus. And they were walking along and they were talking among themselves. And Jesus just comes right up next to them and starts talking and listening to their conversation. And they were talking all about Jesus. See, this is after he has risen again, about him before he actually died. So it says right here in verse 25, Jesus says to them because of their conversation, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." So notice, they were slow of heart to believe. All right? Now notice the transformation. As Jesus begins to share things with them, and then he's taken away and disappears, they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Now, do you see the difference? Having Jesus with them for that small little amount of time, the number one thing he did was he located them, which is you're slow of heart. You don't have an open heart, you don't have an open mind, and you're slow to believe what the prophet said. He began to share with them what the prophet said, and by the time he left, their heart is burning within them. Now, that's what God can do with us all day long. And that's the beauty of having a relationship with Christ.
It's really pretty even. The more time that you focus on your flesh and your world, the reality of this radio show, the more time that you spend, the more time you spend, the more it's going to be important to you. The less time you worry about your life, your flesh, and your world, and the more you focus on the guys, the more you're going to focus on the guys, and you're going to get benefits. It's like what we said so many months or a year ago. It's like having two old-fashioned 1800 steam engines where they threw wood in there to boil the water. You know, you had your locomotive, and then you had a guy, the wood guy, who did nothing but chuck logs into the fire to keep the train going down the tracks.
Right.
Okay, where are you chucking wood? All right, what steam engine are you going? Are you on the tracks of the flesh in the world where the train isn't going to move unless you constantly feed that fire? Or are you on the grace locomotive, on those tracks that lead to heaven, where you're sitting back and enjoying the ride because the guys are burning the wood for you? What exactly are you, where's your efforts? How do you do the homework with healing? Give some examples. That's a text message that came in.
Okay. I mean, the homework from this last week where you're writing something down and then, well, I mean, hey, the first thing that you're going to do to write something down about your physical body and then remind yourself throughout the day that this thing in my physical body is something that I've accepted. It's something that I've believed in to be real. Because if Jesus took my infirmity, then why am I looking at my flesh, considering that there is a truth to this problem, and then giving my time and energy and actions to it? So the very fact that throughout the course of the day, it's not called denying that your body doesn't have something. It's called you're taking away the value that you would give it, and you're giving that value and time and energy to God. So, you know, the moment that's exactly how we keep from having issues come into our lives is by living in a life that is more spirit-centered than flesh-centered. You know, there's no better scripture, you know, that Paul gives us than to say the flesh is against the spirit and the spirit is against the flesh. They're contrary. And then he even went on to say this, and you even do things that you don't know that you're doing. That's to the degree that you can get so fleshly minded that you can do stuff you don't even know you're doing. So to use this in the area of healing would be to be in constant thanksgiving and remembrance as to the work that Jesus did in your body and not giving your flesh so much attention.
We got an email that came in 40 minutes ago. It says, "Ranger, great start to the show. Hoping you can get the guys to talk about Proverbs 23:7 tonight as it relates to intent. This is from Breakfast Ed. What's Proverbs 23:7? Is that in Scripture somewhere?
Yeah.
He never says hello to us, always to Ranger.
Yeah.
Have you picked up on that? Breakfast Ed is a big fan of Ranger, but not us.
Yeah, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man, let's see. It escaped my memory, and yet I know the verse. I'm just finding it right now.
Folks, if you want to send a text message to the show, the first word that you type has to be the word grace, and then your comment or question, and when you press the send button, you send it to 69302. That's 69302. If you'd like to send an email to the show, it's the name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence, at G, the letter gmail.com.
It means, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what it says. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
So, if you pretend you're a good guy and the world thinks you're a good guy, but you know better, you're not a good guy.
Right.
If everybody thinks you're a good, decent person, but you go home at night and get drunk and spend all your money gambling on the internet. See, that's that inner person. That's that those choices. That's the plastic on the heart that can get in the way. Those choices. We got one here. It says, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. By the way, I heard that they started calling it golf because the other four-letter words were already taken.
That's good.
And this is from Mulligan. Mulligan Stew. Good old Mulligan Stew Tim, but he signed it Birdie Tim.
Oh.
So now he's wearing a bird suit?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many birdies he got last time we played. I don't know that he
did
got
did you
any.
Go golfing with him?
Yep. Breakfast Ed and Mulligan.
The three of you?
Yep.
Who's better? Who can hit the ball farther? Never mind. Nobody cares.
No. Mulligan hits it the straightest, that's for sure.
He does?
He does.
Great. Yeah, that's bragging rights. I can hit a little ball perfectly straight, and then I can run and hit it again perfectly straight farther away. Wow. You guys might as well just be hammering nails and boards and pulling the nails back out.
Yeah, that might be a good job for us. You know, I'm going to go over to just to introduce a couple of thoughts here in Exodus and chapter 9, because in Exodus chapter 9 in verse 12, it talks about how the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. You know, this is about Moses and the children of Israel and let my people go, and Pharaoh wouldn't let them go, and his heart became harder and harder and harder. You know, the scripture writes, whoever wrote that scripture, well, Moses that wrote it, it says there, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, but the Lord didn't harden his heart. It's just that everything that God said and told Moses to tell Pharaoh was an opportunity for Pharaoh to open his heart.
The choices he made.
Exactly. And the opportunity to either open his heart or harden his heart or close his heart. And Pharaoh chose to close his heart. And this is just how quickly an individual can get sidetracked. And we used the word seared earlier, like an iron. You'd sear something. You'd sear your shirt. You'd have an iron mark in your shirt and you couldn't wear it any longer. You'd sear a heart. That's that film, that coating. That's that hardness of heart that it's talking about in this scripture, where an individual is no longer open and pliable to the thought of God being real. And you get in a pattern and habit, and it's so learned for so many years that you don't consider that there could be anything else. And folks, in fact, to be honest with you, as I go around and minister and preach, these are some of the things that I run into quite often. In fact, I run into it as much or more, probably more, with the ministers that I rub shoulders with, more so than the people. Because the people aren't as learned. And they're open. They're ready to have change. They desire and want change. They want help. The ministers that I run into are the ones that more often are stuck in the way that they see something, then they're not open to really discuss or talk about it. I love having opportunities to share things and talk with ministers. I call it just talking shop, just talking about the things of God, where we can really open up, and you don't have to be right in order to stay in the conversation. You can say, well, you know, I don't necessarily agree with you. And you can disagree, you know, in a very nice way. I love talking shop like that because you really begin to iron out some of the religion that's holding people back. But I hope you got a hold of that, that God wasn't hardening Pharaoh's heart, but every opportunity for God to try to connect with you is for you a choice to either connect or to not connect. And if you find yourself making choices all day long of not connecting with God, why wouldn't you get good at that? So good at that, that you lose your place of reference that there even is a good choice to make. I think that's a good thought to make.
Okay. We got a text here. It says, I am familiar with Proverbs 23:7 in KJV. Will you read it in Message and discuss?
Okay, let's see what it says in the Message.
Boy, they want us to work.
It's okay.
We need emails, we need text messages, and also get ready, because there is a Rock Your World bizarre, probably the most bizarre of all the homework assignments coming up in a few minutes. So be warned.
Okay, this is what it says. I'm going to read verse 6 first in the Message. Don't accept a meal from a tightwad. Don't expect anything special. He'll be as stingy with you as he is with himself. He'll say, eat, drink, but won't mean a word of it. That's the same thing as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I don't know. I mean, it just seems to kind of speak for itself there.
It does.
You know, he's as stingy with you as he is himself. He may say all kinds of things, but he doesn't mean it. And for me, that's Jesus describing the individual, the Pharisees. I mean, he addressed that whole same type of issue with Pharisees. He said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me.
Yeah.
And he was trying to point out, I've got it right here. It's over in Matthew chapter 15. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see, as you really think in your own heart, BJ, this goes back 4 weeks ago. I think I'm pretty accurate to the 4 weeks, where we talked about, and at the end of the show, you gave a little summation, and you mentioned about who are you really? And I've since, you know, just kind of embellished that a little bit, especially in my meetings, to talk about, you know, you can act a certain way and talk a certain way in front of your children. Then you can act a certain way and talk a certain way in front of your wife or your spouse. You can actually talk and act a different way in front of an employer. And we know for sure that everybody is just like total saints when they go to a church, because people put on this amazing relationship that they have with God. So the question is, who are you really though? Because the person that gets the answer to the prayer or the person that doesn't get the answer to the prayer is the person you are by yourself. How you see life, what your reality is. In other words, what your record is. Whether you start something, never finish it. Whether you're afraid all the time. Whether you're insecure. Whether you bring all of those kind of thoughts, feelings, and emotions into your request to get a prayer answered. When it's the person that you really are.
Well, it really wasn't a summation. I was more summarizing.
Okay. That's good for me.
You know what time it is? Do you know what time it is?
I'm ready for it.
Are you?
I really am.
Okay, folks. You have exactly 3 minutes and 30 seconds to go to the kitchen and grab a fork. It can be a salad fork. It can be a dinner fork. It can be one of those little forks that you use to take the snails out of their shells. It can be a serving size fork. But this is going to challenge you how you've never been challenged before. So, as long as this song is playing, go get a fork for tonight's homework assignment. Oh, did I mention a piece of paper and a pen or pencil or crayon? So you need a fork, pen, and paper. If there are two people in your house, you need two forks and two pieces of paper. If there are five people in your house, you need five forks and five pieces of paper. If there are 11 people in your house, you need 11 forks and 11 pieces of paper. Get the idea? So, 2 minutes left. Do you really want to go to heaven? Are you really committed? Do you understand what absolute really means when it comes to the guys? You spend all this time listening to Jim's radio show every week? You've done all the homework assignments in the past, but this one is the toughest. You got a compass and went outside and learned what clicks away was. You've made choices before. You've walked around chairs. You've worn different shoes. You've stood up. You've danced to dance music during the show. But are you strong enough? Do you choose grace over your flesh and the world? Do you have a fork, a piece of paper, something to write with? We're down to 40 seconds. Seconds left for the homework assignment tonight, March 24th, 2015. Here we are, tonight's homework assignment. Jim is across the table, his eyes are wide. Just, you like that song, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry. There we go.
So, yeah, I liked it a lot.
I just recorded that specifically for this homework assignment.
Yeah. No, I like it.
Took me 20 minutes to find it. Okay, folks. Here we go. Take whatever fork you chose. Hopefully you chose a clean one. But if you didn't, well, that's okay too. I want you to take that piece of paper. And I want you to write on the piece of paper very simply and plainly so that there's no question about your commitment and dedication to this homework assignment. On that piece of paper, I want you to write, do not touch, do not remove until Tuesday night, the 31st of March. Once again, take your piece of paper and write, do not touch, do not move until Tuesday night, March 31st. That's next Tuesday night. 7 days. from today. Write on the paper, do not touch, do not move until Tuesday night, March 31st. Now, this is what you're going to do with that fork. It can be in the middle of the living room floor, in a hallway, in the middle of the bathroom floor, but it has to be in a part of your house that is considered non-private. Like, don't cheat. Don't put it in your bedroom. Don't put it in the garage. Or outside in the backyard. It has to be in your house where it is conspicuous and it is completely in the way. Where you have to walk over it. You have to step over it. If you have to clean your house or vacuum, you have to go around the fork and the note. Place the fork on the note. And be proud of it. Tell your family that there is a fork on a piece of paper in the middle of the living room. And there will be hell to pay. End of time revenge and anger if somebody messes with your fork and your note. That it has to stay there for 7 days. It's not to be messed with or touched with, just to respect your wishes. And when they say why, say, I'm testing my commitment and conviction to Christ. And here's the point of this homework assignment. If you, with your vast knowledge and worldly experience, the child that you are with the good grades, or the adult that you are with the good job and the multiple homes or the good income, or the senior citizen who's been there, done that, and lived a great life, do you have the personal strength to choose to take a piece of paper and write, do not touch, do not remove until Tuesday night the 31st, and take a fork and put it on that piece of paper and put it in the middle of the living room or the hallway or the kitchen or the den or the bathroom or the playroom or in the front hallway by the front door. Somewhere where everyone has to deal with that stupid, ridiculous, idiotic fork and piece of paper. Are you willing to guard it and protect it? Are you proud of it? Do you choose to do this and to make sure that it is a priority? Because this is the point of it. If you think this is silly, if you're too busy, if it's too childish, if you think that somebody's going to think you're crazy or nuts, that it's going to get in the way, that you've got a party or some people coming over, a wedding reception or a funeral or a business meeting, and you don't want anybody to think oddly of you, if you are not ready to choose to write this simple note and a fork, a kitchen utensil, a simple little piece of metal, for shoving food in your face, if you're not willing to choose that for 7 days, then ask yourself, how hard is it going to be to choose grace? How hard is it going to be for you to dedicate, to truly commit to God, to understand what commitment and conviction really means? Because you can't babysit a fork? You can't take care of a fork. You're too big of a macho man, too proud of a woman to have one of your forks in your living room? Are you kidding me? Because if you don't do this, if you fail at it, then the next time you ask yourself, the worldly flesh, the reality that I'm not supposed to be a part of, I just can't be swallowed up in it. Well, you're drowning in it. Because you just couldn't protect a fork for 7 days. You like this one?
Yeah, it's good. I'm looking at certain scripture and stuff while I was writing all that down. Hebrews in chapter 3. You know, the children of Israel, chapter 4 as well. Children of Israel were supposed to go into the promised land. And when they got to the promised land, being separated by the river, the Jordan River, that's when they sent spies in and found out that the land indeed was exactly everything that God said to them. But there were giants and there were walled cities in there, and they freaked out because of that, and they began to want to turn the other way. It says here that Paul leaves a warning. He said, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So notice how Paul looks at it. If an individual's not able to stay steadfast to their convictions and have resolve in their heart toward Christ, but they're vacillating back and forth. We've talked about that in other shows a little differently, where we made mention of the on and off switch. But if this is how an individual lives, then switching off is considered an evil heart of unbelief. So that kind of pins our hide to the wall a little bit more with that illustration to give you some biblical thought about what it means to say, well, I started it, but you know, I couldn't finish it.
Well, it's a homework assignment.
Right.
Well, I'm afraid somebody will step on it and get hurt.
Why not?
Well, not if you tell everybody.
That's right. That's the point. Why not just be bold enough to say, this is what's going to happen, this is where it's going to be, and everybody knows for the next week.
And I'm testing myself.
Just avoid it, because we're not going to budge.
Because if somebody isn't willing to respect your choice to have a simple fork
right.
to step or walk around,
right.
why do you think they'll respect your choice to become a Christian and have a Bible around, and you think you're going to convert them or finally convince them? Because they don't even take your own personal choices seriously.
Well, yeah. And
see the depth of this homework assignment, folks. See how it's really going to give you answers and rock your world.
Sure.
So if there's two of you, two pieces of paper, two forks. We got an email here. It came in 8 minutes ago. It says, hello from Barb in Minnesota. Dave is out of town. By the way, I really enjoyed listening to last week's teaching from the library. I like the example of adding to zero. Are these meetings archived? Do you archive the Wednesday night? But you've got them, right?
We have them.
But eventually they will be available?
I'm going to work on that.
It costs money, but I bet you could put them on the website, the show's website.
Okay.
But, I mean, you haven't deleted them, right?
No. They should all be filed in a iPod.
Check on that and see if they are.
Yeah,
and if
I
they,
will.
You know,
I'll check tomorrow.
And get back to me because, okay, we got it.
Do you know what that illustration was, BJ? It was simply an illustration. It really has helped people in this last week that I kind of got. But, you know, Jesus said that all power has been given unto him, which means the devil has none, zero.
Right.
So I showed, you know, the devil is a zero plus zero equals what? Zero.
Right.
So if there's something in your life that looks like it comes from him, since he doesn't have any value or numbers to add, then you've given it value. Some way, somehow.
We have a question. It says, hello, can I tape it to the paper and tape the paper to the carpet? They want to take tape and tape the fork to the note and then tape the note to the floor. I wonder why. Earthquakes?
I don't know.
Tornadoes? You know, I'm trying to come up with a reason to say no, but I don't really have one, and I can't come up with a reason to say yes, because I'm trying to understand why you would have to tape it in your house. So I'm just going to say, who cares? I really don't know. I don't know how to answer that, because, I mean, I can make an argument as to why you shouldn't have to tape it, just tell people to leave it alone. But I can also make an argument for... what if you've got a little baby crawling on hands and knees, you know, that picks everything up and, you know, would stick it in an electrical outlet? Or you have a dog that every time something hits the floor, It wants to bury it in the backyard.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? That's sure. why I don't know what to say yes or no. So I'm just going to say, put the fork and the note on the floor and protect it, guard it, and respect it till Tuesday night, the 31st. I don't know. We got another email here that says, well, that's weird. It says, subject fork. Oh, they're responding. They said children.
Hmm.
Little kids.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Yep. I understand. See, that's a weak link in my life is that I've been around kids teaching them about horses and getting them to be not afraid of livestock and dogs and animals and things, but like being in a house with a kid 24/7.
Yeah.
No experience with that.
Well, you know, if you got little kids, you probably have a little plastic fork that's a little kid's fork. You could put that down and just so you're not afraid.
Well, then the little kid would think it's theirs.
Okay, that's a good thought, too. Well, do what you need. The point of the homework is obviously that we're respecting it and not touching it.
I wish that we'd get an email from somebody that did this at their job.
That'd be very interesting.
That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a boss. They're just a worker bee. And they've placed a fork somewhere where the employees are with this note that says, don't touch this fork. That's commitment, conviction. I mean, that's really it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
That's testing yourself. That's really going out on a limb. Then you might come to work and there could be a bunch of guys in white coats.
Ready to take you away.
Do you remember that song? They're coming to take me away. Ho, ho, they're coming to take me away. The little white men in little white suits are coming to take me away.
No.
You don't know that song?
No, I don't.
Yeah, that's a real song. I think it's from the '60s. But yeah, there was a song. It had like this huge drum beat and tambourine and it was and cymbals. They're coming to take me away. Ho ho, they're coming to take me away. I'm serious. Well, it's a real song.
Well, I'm sure it was. If it was in the 60s, they probably experienced it.
I'm serious. And then there was also a country song by George Jones that he said his song was I Don't Remember Loving You. My favorite verse in there is, I don't remember loving you, but you can ask my doctors. They stop by each day at 2.
Oh, really? That's pretty good.
No, I'm serious. That's a verse from an old country song.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I don't remember loving you, but you can ask my doctors. They stop by each day at 2.
That's pretty good.
And of course, this whole conversation is going to keep people from burning in hell. I guarantee it. Okay, let's talk a little bit about what we talked about tonight about the small choices that put that plastic wrap on your heart.
Yeah.
Do you think we've represented it okay?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I really
think we haven't had a lot of emails. We haven't had a lot of text messages. And we had, once again, we had a groundbreaking beginning to the show. If you logged on late and you didn't hear the beginning of the show, you might want to stick around and wait for it to stream 24/7. Do you think so?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's really good. You know, the whole purpose of Christ's coming was to make a way for everybody to experience God the Father, have a relationship. And we know that accepting Christ in our heart, believing in our heart, I mean, that's the first step any man has to take toward the Lord. We find that over in Romans chapter 10, where Paul said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. In other words, you come to a place where you recognize you need Jesus in your life. Well, Scripture is all about sharing with you that the moment that that takes place, God gives you a new heart. In fact, Isaiah made the point of saying concerning Jesus and what he would do for people, that God wanted to give us a new heart. And take the stony heart out and put in a heart of flesh. Take the heart that's full of all the hurts and pains, the stony heart, the heart that has no flexibility, pliability to it, openness. and or the hardened heart, just like with Pharaoh. Take that out that doesn't have God in it. Put God in that heart, the grace of God in that heart, the presence of God in that heart, and make it a heart of flexibility, tangibility. Make that heart one that's open. Well, Jesus came to do that, and the heart of man is the place where all of our convictions, all of our resolve and faith comes from. So I think tonight we've done a real good job sharing that truth, and I'm going to just give this one scripture in Hebrews 10:22 that says, let us draw near with a true heart, because we just got through reading about people that had an evil heart of unbelief. A true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And the last scripture I'll give would be this. Hebrews 13:9 says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established in grace. I like that too. What are you laughing at?
I found the song.
Oh, you did?
It got, you know, out of the top Billboard 100, it made it to number 3 in August of 1966. What were you doing in August of 1966?
I was probably riding my bicycle and playing football in the backyard.
Really?
Yeah.
I know exactly what I was doing. August was county fair.
Oh.
So I was 4-H, cattle, horses, sleeping in the barn at night with the show calves. Yeah. Because August always was...
Sure.
Was county fairs. And see, we'd go from one fair to another, and then state fair. And then sometimes we'd go to the Nebraska State Fair, which used to be Nebraska spelled backwards, which was Exarban.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what they used to call the Nebraska State Fair. It was Nebraska backward called Exarban.
Huh.
Yeah. Got escorted from Exarban one year.
Oh, nice. It's good to have people with you.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah. And of course, I gave, you know, they says, kid, you need to go back home. And I'd say, I've been thrown out of better fairs than this one. And of course, they just looked at each other like, what?
That's good.
Yeah, I found that song. I got to figure out how we got to hear it.
I don't know how you're going to do it.
I got an idea. I don't know if it's going to sound very good, but okay. If I
do heart and take the stony heart out.
Okay. If I turn off the show this way.
Full of all the hurts and pains.
Okay. So then, and I press this button.
Well, just put your microphone down too.
Well, that's what I'm going to do, but
remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha! You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed. I heard you laugh. You laughed and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Ha-ha. Well, you just wait. They'll find you yet. And when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and
oh my goodness, it's real.
It's, I told you, number 3 on Billboard's top 100.
Well, everybody was on
August
drugs back
of
then.
1966.
It's obvious. Oh my goodness.
Now, I challenge anybody to listen to any television or radio or internet, anything that has to do with Jesus that gives you quality music like that.
Oh my goodness. Well, we might need to pray right now.
You want to pray right now?
Sure.
Is it time to pray
I
now?
Think so.
Wait, I am like so far away from, hold on, I got to find you. Hey, that was actually, you know, by the way, we need to thank Dave and Barb. They're the ones that provided us with the technology to...
yes, to do all that.
So if you want to blame anybody...
Yeah, it's Dave's fault today.
Yeah, Dave's fault. He's out of town. He'll never know. All right, let me find your stuff.
Well, while BJ is finding it, and even if he has right now, let me just say, glad that everybody tuned in tonight. And for those that are going to be listening, we certainly are thankful that you've tuned in as well. We want to just really get across the point, and I trust that we're doing it here in the last couple of shows, how simple this can be. You know, we've said, as kind of a little motto, we've said for a long time, it's simple, it's just not easy. You know, the not easy part comes down to, can you keep a piece of paper on the floor with a fork on it? If you can, then maybe you'll be able to have enough resolve to just go ahead and start putting your flesh aside, making choices that allow God to be real to you. And kind of like we said tonight, let him pal around with you all day and get to the point where he's talking to you nonstop. So we're going to go ahead and just say a word right now. Father, I thank you for these people that are listening. And I thank you for health and strength in their bodies. I thank you for a quickening in their mind. That, Lord God, you heal the brokenhearted. And people's lives are touched by your presence, by the grace of God, by your Spirit. And this night, Lord God, we'll just really give you thanks that there's a lot of good testimonies out there that are just waiting to happen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, going from they're coming to take me away to that is a pretty big transition.
It was real huge.
We have not one.
That's because
person.
They all left.
They left?
They left while we were going to take them away.
You think we scared them? Is that the, you think, you know, I always wondered, I thought, you know, one of these days, there's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back, and they're just gone, never to return to the show.
Yeah, the little white men, I think it's done.
We have broken so much new ground tonight. Between that song and the fork and the piece of paper as the homework assignment. Somebody just texted a song you wanted to remember to forget.
Yeah.
Okay, we got another email here that says, I think we need Jim to sing a song about Jesus after that crazy tune. This is from Barb in Minnesota. She's trying to redeem her husband. Since we blamed them, she's trying to get a redeeming. That, you know, between the seriousness of the homework assignment and talking about having plastic wrap on your heart, I think
right.
we've given them a couple of things to really think hard about and things to,
I think so too,
to really, you know, to consider.
And you know, that I think it really applied when I was sharing about that Facebook posting that I read where that pastor in New York was saying that we really have very successfully trained people to only listen and not do
yeah.
anything.
No,
it's a new habit. It's a new routine, and I can vouch for that because I've been around a teaching move for 30 and 40 years, and really the only thing that people want to do as an action is to hear another teaching.
Yeah, I never thought much about it until after I started going home with the guys. But then they, you know, and they are the nice thing about the nice thing about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit loves to show you things. The Holy Spirit loves to show you things like almost like the spirit of Christmas past. The Holy Spirit likes to just tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, remember this, look at this. You know, and grace is that tiny voice or that feeling in the pit of your stomach when all of a sudden something happens and you look at somebody and you say, I knew this was going to go bad. I knew I shouldn't have come. I knew I shouldn't have said this. I knew this was going to go bad and I didn't listen to myself. That's grace. And Jesus is always there to assist with prayers. You know, and Christ is just combining it all and providing protection and safety and also providing endless, limitless love and putting it all together.
Right.
But I think that one of the things that is so dangerous about organized religion is very rarely do you hear turn to page so-and-so, verse so-and-so. It's all electronic now. It's all about expedience.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk to somebody like a reverend or pastor or somebody, they'll say, well, it's technology. We have to stay what's current. People are texting and they're video calling and they're Skyping and so we have to stay current. No, that's part of the problem, is that you're more worried about staying socially current and socially acceptable. And what's social is what keeps people from God. That's part of that plastic wrap.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I remember when it was unacceptable to quit a job, say goodbye, break up a relationship by telephone. And it really wasn't thought of very nice to do it with a letter. If you're gonna quit a job, if you're gonna break up out with somebody, if it's something serious, it has to be eye to eye, face to face. Okay, nowadays it's an email or a text message. It isn't even about your voice and hearing their voice.
Right.
We keep distancing ourselves with technology.
Right.
And the problem is the more that we distance ourselves with technology and the more advanced we become as a civilization, the other thing that I think is occurring is it's taken us away from grace.
Oh, well, we don't recognize it anymore.
There's just no time for it.
Right. Yeah, 1 John 2:15, I'm just looking at this verse in the Message Bible. You've heard it before, but it says, don't love the world's ways, don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. I think that's exactly what you were saying there. Well, we don't want to be isolated from God. That's the whole point of the show, the abiding presence.
Well, what do you think of the show tonight?
Well, every week I get satisfied. I feel like we're saying the kind of things.
Did it go the way you wanted?
Yeah. The small.
No surprises, right?
No surprises. Everything's just normal.
Hey, speaking of no surprises, everything normal, are you back at the library tomorrow night?
I am.
And people can watch and listen on Facebook Live?
Yes. They can go to jimhockaday.com and go to the live stream, and it'll take you right there to the Facebook where you can look at it.
Or can they, if they have Facebook, can they just go to jimhockadayministry.com Facebook page? Right? Yeah. Isn't it the same page?
Yeah, I'll look that up right now. I'm not sure if they can get that way anymore. That's why I'm sending everybody anymore to just the website, because it's just one button. It takes them right to it.
Oh, Okay. Well, maybe my question will confuse them then. Remember, folks, the homework assignment. Do not move, do not touch, do not move until Tuesday night, March 31st. Take that fork and place it in the main area of your home. No bedrooms, no garages, no front, no back porches. It has to be in a living room, kitchen, bathroom, hallway, den, playroom, where there's a lot of people are going to ask, what's the deal with the note and the fork? How committed are you? If you can't choose a piece of paper and a fork, if you can't protect it, if you're not committed, if it makes you too embarrassed, well, what does that say about your strength of conviction, of making a choice? These are the skills that it takes to become humble. This is the type of skill set that is needed to learn Christian habits.
Yeah.
Are you looking for something?
I'm looking on the website page, and I don't see it anymore. How to get there? So
okay,
just go to the jimhockaday.com. Real simple, and find where it says live stream, and it'll be there for a full week.
Well, I'm really shocked we didn't get more texts or emails about that song.
Oh, they'll probably come in. I bet you I'll hear about it tomorrow.
I bet nobody will say anything.
Okay.
We'll see. What do you want to bet?
I want to bet an ice cream. We haven't had one. Or a milkshake
from
Brahms.
Okay.
Milkshake from Brahms.
All right.
Boy, sure. There was a time where we had milkshakes all the time. Oh, my gosh.
Been busy.
We got tired of that, didn't we?
You know, Ranger's new business, Ranger's Cooking Wood, is taking off pretty good.
Oh, good.
Folks, take care of yourselves and your pets. And Jim and I will be here next week. And remember, dogs don't hurt. That's right. Tell them, Ranger, what's dog spelled backwards? Good night, everybody.
Good night.